You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of November. A home win makes everyone happy. Continuing to dominate at the rim, we'll talk about that. Plus, Donovan Mitchell's passing game, the most underrated aspect of what he does. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. It is Locked On Jazz for the, what a day of the week is it? Oh, it's a Thursday because we're doing a live show. 8th of November, Jazz win last night against Dallas. We'll break that one down. We'll do our little numbers run we always do through the game and then take your questions and get the show rolling. So thank you very much for tuning in. Please follow on Instagram, Locked On NBA Net. Super proud of what we've done. It's really fun when I talk about these things because really all I'm doing is daddy bragging. When the network does something, it's like my kids, so therefore I like go brag about it and then ask you to follow it, and it's really no different than if I was telling you about my kids right now, which is obnoxious. But Locked On NBA Net on Twitter is now a feed of all of our hosts, both NBA Net and NFL Net, and then on Instagram, both NBA Net and NFL Net is short little snippets, kind of the news of the day in a minute. So they're both kind of cool. So make sure you go grab that. Today's show brought to you by Intercap Lending, Mazuma, and there's a new grip6.com/lock. Get you all sorts of special deals. We'll talk about that coming up on the show. All right, let's go to last night before we get to the questions. Jazz win. I thought the freaking out over the four losses was a little much because you had two games without Donovan. You had an exhausted game, and then you had a loss at Memphis. And so, to me, what jumped out to me a little bit on this one is it was the exact opposite. It was the Jazz doing exactly what they should do. They got a tired team who wants to live in transition. They hit them early. They beat them up. They made a bunch of shots the same way they missed a bunch of shots, and they won. And that's, you know what? That's exactly what you should do. I'm not going to get as overly, like, zealously excited about it the same way I didn't really freak out about the losses is the way I would hope that that's perceived. So quickly running through the numbers on last night's game and giving you an idea of what happened from a standpoint, there are some things that are pretty exciting and that I believe in that I'll get to in a moment. But the ESPN enhanced box number for the offense last night, actually, I should just use my, I have my own one. It was good. It was a 116, and the defensive rating was right back at 100. So, you know, here we have another game where the Jazz show that they can, from a defensive standpoint, be that dominant team defensively. That's really what they, you know, and to the point of all of the freak out over the four-game losing streak, the defense has had some bad nights. But on the other end, the defense has also had a bunch of nights where they showed just how good they could be. And that, to me, is more important, the fact that the Jazz have shown the ability to still be the elite-level defensive team. This will now be, through 11 games, this is the Jazz have had five games of a defensive rating of 101 or below. That's pretty exceptional. It's not quite as high a rate as we had last year. We have had four games that were really bad defensively, two of which Donovan didn't play. Like, I think that matters. So I would point that out. Last night, the offense last night was our sixth best offensive game of the year. It was just kind of, by the end of the night, it was somewhat average. Elsewhere, looking at the numbers last night, the shot frequency was incredible. The Jazz took 43% of their shots at the rim last night. They only took 19% of their shots in the mid-range. 38% of their shots were threes. That's big time. Last night, Dallas ended up taking 36% of their shots in the short mid-range area, which is because they couldn't get to the rim because of Rudy Gobert. That's where the Jazz defense is suddenly working. The Mavericks only took 45% of their shots as mid-range shots last night. The Jazz made some shots last night. The Jazz were 5 of 15 on corner threes. That's an incredible number. To be able to get 15 corner threes in a game is a mind-blowing number. I'm actually going to look that up. The high before that last was 11. And the corner three is particularly important to our offense, because when you're running a high pick and roll with Rudy Gobert and Donovan or someone's coming down the lane, you now need you have both corners filled. If they're going to stop Rudy's roll, which is why the Jazz have an incredible number at over 40% of their shots right now are at the rim. At this point of our live broadcast, I took a moment and brought in Mark Armstrong, former Utah broadcaster, and we chatted for a second on live Facebook, which I've never done before. It was kind of cool, but it disrupted the show, so I edited it out. Now we're back to normal. But 15 corner threes. The corner three is really, really important to Utah, because when you're running Rudy Gobert down the middle of the lane on the pick and roll and you have each corner filled, they now have to bring, if they're going to stop Rudy, they have to bring somebody in. You got to find that corner three shooter. And the Jazz last night, the official number, I guess, is 14. Cleaning the glass had 15, but 5 of 14, that's the high for the year for the Jazz. The Jazz did not shoot anything crazy last night. They were 36% from three, which is right on average. They were 50% from the mid-range, but their shot distribution was just brilliant in last night's game. The other thing the Jazz did last night really, really well that was awesome is that they kept the Dallas Mavericks out of transition. The Mavericks were the number one team in the NBA in transition last coming into the game, and they played only 12% of their possessions in transition last night, according to Cleaning the Glass. So the Jazz did a fabulous job of keeping that under control, and that was probably the most important thing of the game, because Dallas is 25th in the league in the half court. Once they got into the half court, the Jazz were able to really reduce everything they were doing and take advantage. So the big thing, big takeaway from the numbers last night, offensive executed correctly. They found the right guys on the, hit the corner threes, which they have to hit, and have to get to. Great shot distribution, and on a defensive end, forced Dallas into terrible shot distribution by keeping them into the half court, and that turned the ball game as much as anything. We always like to recognize our hustle players of the game as well with our hustle stats, and then mention whether we made uncontested looks or not is the final thing we look at in each of our ball games. Here, Matt Moon, I still have not found a way to introduce you to Joe Ingles. You know, that's, I'm failing you is really what it comes down to for the, but you have become a legend, in your request. If that doesn't make you feel, at least makes you feel better. Let me go back to the stats breakdown and then we'll get to all your questions today on the show. The Jazz open looks last night, uncontested looks, Jazz were 27 of 60 uncontested looks last night. That is an offense that is getting the shots they needed to get. Donovan was 7 of 13. He was brilliant. Jay Crowder was 4 of 10. Great plus-minus night for Jay. Good lineup stuff there. Dallas was 19 of 45 on uncontested looks. You go get 15 more uncontested looks in your teams you're playing, you're going to do all right. Hustle stats last night. Screen assists, Rudy Gobert had 6. Deflections, Ricky Rubio had 4. Jay Crowder had 3. I said on KUTV with Dave Fox that what I really wanted to see was Ricky Rubio back getting all the 50-50 balls with the deflections, those passionate winning plays that it were kind of a signature to who he is. And that I thought we saw again last night a little bit. 3 loose ball recoveries for Donovan, 3 for Ricky Rubio, 13 contested shots for Derek Favors and 11 by Rudy Gobert. So that's the numbers breakdown of last night. That gives a pretty good summary. Solid win. Had to have it. Have to have the Dallas wins with this brutal schedule coming. I'm going to complain about the schedule. I just want to let everyone know. I've never embarked on anything like what we're about to embark on. I'm actually kind of bitter about it. I'm pissed about how little I'm going to see my family. And I'm going to complain about it. Okay? I'm 48 years old. I've become that grumpy old guy who's complaining about this crap, even though I love it. Last night was so cool. I watched Ron Boone, Daryl Griffith, and Thurl Bailey when I was a kid rooting for the Jazz. And I had all of them, Ron every night, and Thurl almost every night, on the broadcast last night, and we're all talking to them all in one quarter. I just thought it was awesome. I thought that was super, super cool. Hey, Grip 6 Belts has launched a brand new site just for us, the Locked On listeners. It's grip6.com/lock. Grip6.com/lock. On that site, you have 2 promo codes you get to use that are just for you. One is LOCK20, and then the other is LOCK89, and that is a classic 3 buckles, 3 straps, and a hanger for just $89. I love the Grip 6 belt. It's the only one I wear now. They are super because the straps and the buckles are interchangeable, so you can do all sorts of cool things. They're also cool because the strap flips inside the buckle in a manner so that they just, it absolutely, there's no holes, there's no folds, there's no trying to find somebody else's size instead of your own. It fits perfectly. Some of the guys that are listening to the show that are heavier say it's fabulous if you have a little extra in that area of because it doesn't scrunch up and hurt you. I luckily don't know yet, but I'm well on my way of finding out. So check it out. It's grip6.com/lock. And there's two promo codes. The lock20 gets you 20% off any strap or any buckle combination. And lock89 gets you a $89 classic pack at 33% off, plus the grip6 hanger. So check those both out. I just bought my dad the Yosemite one. He used to work as director of marketing for Yosemite. And so he was able to, I got him the new buckle that looks like Yosemite. There's one that's Jackson. There's cool red ones. It's, check it out. It's great. Grip6.com/lock. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. If you're a small business owner and you have 1 to 5 people in your company, you've got to be using Mazuma USA. Mazuma does a wonderful job of being able to basically give you an entire bookkeeping staff and a tax advisor for $75 a month. It's pretty cool. You sign up with Mazuma. They immediately assign you that CPA and that bookkeeper. Those are yours. Once a quarter, you get a tax reminder. Once a month, you get your return. You get a monthly report. At the end of the year, all your taxes are taken care of. You have that tax planning discussion throughout the year. You can end it at any time. No contracts, cancel anytime. No hidden fees. There's no trick here. It's just basically adding a CPA and a bookkeeper to your small business for $75 a month. 801-980-2102. Free consultation. Go to MazumaUSA.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. That's 801-980-2102. MazumaUSA.com. All right, let's get to your questions. What a weird show we've had today. Oh, I just got notification that Locked on NFL with Mike Sando has been released. I know what I'm doing the minute this show is over. Do you believe Rubio could be benched in the near future? No, not at all. One, I don't know who would possibly replace him. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is Quinn believes in him, and he was great for us last year, and I wouldn't bench him just because he's had a bad opening 11-game shooting. He's not shooting well enough, though. That is true. Moreover, I think what I did see that I kind of liked was a year ago, the Jazz second unit, Donovan, was actually leading the second unit. Quinn changed Donovan's substitution pattern last night. He kind of played 6-minute snippets. And maybe that was due to the injury or maybe that was a change. We'll have to see. But if you watch what happened last night, Donovan checks out of the game at the 6:16 mark, comes back in the game at the 1:38 mark, now playing with Dante for the next period of time. And the Jazz, in this stretch, outscored the Mavericks by 11 points before Donovan went out and then came back for the final 4:09 of the second quarter. He did this, looked like he was going to do the same thing in the second half, but then he actually ends up coming in a little later in the fourth quarter and played all the way through. But while he and Dante were on the floor together in that stretch, they weren't quite as good. But it's an interesting idea to allow Donovan to play with Dante a little bit more, maybe with the ball in his hands a little bit more, let Dante play off the ball using some of his other skills. Dante's got one weakness right now for Dante is an over-dribbling trying to get the play in a stymies thing. I guess the other was shooting, but he made some shots last night. That, I think, maybe you're going to allow Donovan to play with Dante a tiny bit more. Maybe they've done it more this year than I thought, and I'm kind of trying to look that up really quickly here. But my feeling is that they have not been doing that this year as much. And, you know, Donovan's been in and out of the lineup, so it's also hard to tell. And it felt like last night that had a nice feel to it, playing it in that fashion. Then Royce O'Neal and Alec Burks were both terrific last night. AB was just great. So that was a huge part of it. What are the chances Hayward plays on a back-to-back? I don't know. I think they're low. Well, two things. I was listening to Locked On Celtics today. Jay King, who is the host with John Krause, points out they never planned to rest him on back-to-backs. So that was not a plan. They rested him on the last back-to-back, but that was not necessarily the plan. If they're planning on resting on back-to-backs, I don't think they're going to alter the schedule just because of Utah. That's, you know, that's kind of an unspoken thing you would never do because it shows you're making that bigger in the game. You're making him bigger in the game. So in that sense, I kind of feel like you might not do that. And in that sense, then I don't think he plays. So if you're going to rest him, you would rest him regardless of this. Unless he really comes and says, you can't do that to me. I've got to play. I want to play. I want to get over this. I want to get this done. So I don't know. What we'll see in that regard. He's not healthy yet. And the interesting thing to me is the one guy who understands what he's probably going through is Alec Burks. Alec Burks is the only one I can think of who's had a similar crushing injury. It took him 2 years. By the way, Dante and Donovan have played 9 games together, so they've done this before. They've played 60 minutes, and they're actually -2. So what do I know? Love the Locked On podcast and everything associated with all the hard work that goes into it. Thank you, Ryan. That's very nice of you. Digging the Exum Donovan backcourt, any stats to back that pairing up? Todd, I just ruined that question for you. No, there's absolutely no stats that back that up. The offense has been poor and the defense has been okay. So no stats to back that up at all. I'm looking at a 3-man pair to see if there's anything. Our best 3-man pair is Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, and Jay Crowder. Or Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell. It's when Jay Crowder comes in for our starters is when we're at our best. And then we have just a it's interesting, by the way, for us, despite the fact, and I think this is important in Quinn, despite being 5-6, our 10 most used 3-man lineups, almost all of which include Jay Crowder to some extent, are all positive. Our next 10 or like actually about 15 are all negative. So it's kind of a funky, but I think that's good. I think eventually you'll see Quinn kind of figure that out and play with those various numbers of what he can do. Hey, David, I rarely get to do the live show, so good to see you. Thank you, Joseph. That's why we did 10:30 today, so we'd have that experience. What do you think of a Mitchell-Burks backcourt lineup? I think the key with Alec is I think Alec has to play with Jay or George Niang. Quinn is bringing Jay Crowder and Alec Burks in, which is a bummer because Joe Ingles goes off the floor. But I like Alec Burks playing with Jay Crowder in a spread floor. Though, frankly, I love Alec's catch and shoot as much as anything. By the way, I have no numbers to back that up. In 7 games, Jay Crowder and Alec Burks together are dead even. And Alec Burks with Joe Ingles is +6. And Alec Burks with Dante is +9. So absolutely no numbers to back up what we think we saw that look good. It's why you have to be really careful with making one game assessments on these things as well. Donovan and Alec Burks so far together, there's not enough sample size really to take any value on any of these things, frankly. Donovan and Alec probably play very rarely together since Alec basically backs up Donovan. Yeah, they've played 6 minutes together all year in one game. So that one doesn't happen much. What do I think of it? Donovan would then be the 1, and Alec would be the 2. It's a pretty bona fide scoring lineup. We'd have to figure out how they defend out of it. It's interesting. I really love what Alec's doing catch and shoot right now. That is just great hard work. That Donovan drive to kick out to Jay was great. Really juked DeAndre Jordan on that one. Yeah, he also dropped the ball. If you watch that again, he lost control of the ball, and then he hooked it with his right hand, almost like it's a lacrosse stick. Or like he cradled it and then somehow got it out there. Donovan is insanely strong. His baseball background of playing shortstop, going deep in the hole and making the throws are evident all the time when you watch him. This is where, and frankly, when we watch Gordon Hayward, his tennis skills were prevalent all the time. And it's where I feel like what we're doing with our sports athletes, there was a huge article in The Atlantic about how we've made all of our youth sports elitist so that most kids can't afford to become very good anymore, so all the rich kid parents can actually make their kids be good. Sounds like my kids. I made them both great at their sports because we played two of them both ski, so that eliminates 99% of society because they don't live in a place with skiing, and then eliminates the other 99% of that 1% of the society because they can't afford it. And then we eliminated any other people because they weren't stupid enough to sit in the cold all day long. And now my kids are great. Like, my kid's unbelievable. He's like top whatever in the country because there's actually nobody else participating. And then my daughter's a golfer also. So that eliminated like 85% of the country financially. And then we eliminated the other by, you know, I don't know, like, right? Like, it's a joke. This article in The Atlantic was unbelievably great about how we have just made youth sports an elitist event. And therefore, Americans are not going to have the best athletes at stuff anymore because we're eliminating most of the people involved in anything. It was dead on, and I'm living it, and my kids are taking advantage of it. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. I don't know how we got there. Is Joe not feeling quite right or came into the season tired from being Mr. Mom? Only asked by Margaret. I don't think Joe is tired from coming in the offseason by being Mr. Mom, but Joe is 31 years old, and when Donovan is hurt, he had to basically play the point guard, and so I do think he's tired. And a year ago, I had some data points on Joe that anytime he played 30 minutes, he struggled the next game out. This was 2 years ago. He didn't do that last year. But his minute numbers are big. 35, 35, 36, 31, 28, 30, 35, 36, 32, 32, 35. And they, because Donovan's been out, they are big time minutes. And I think that's the impact that we're seeing on Joe right now is that, you know, his legs are probably a little dead. He's his 3-point shooting is, doing some math live right here, 5, 9, 14, 18, 32. So he's, whatever, 9 of 32. So he's a little off in his 3-point shooting. He has been in under double figures in 3 straight ball games. He also might be nicked. Joe's the type of guy, and I kind of remember there was a moment where Joe was at the Denver game, seemed like he was injured and was walking around and then didn't do any, you know, he's not going to ever let anyone know that he's injured or do or sit out because he just has never done that. He's incredible. I'm looking at last year, you know, look at this time last year. He plays 32, 34, 26, 18, 30, 31, 32, then suddenly 35. Then he suddenly goes 1 of 4 from 3, 1 of 5 from 3. He has a very similar stretch last year. In fact, if you go to game 14 of last season, Joe Ingles, let's do a little play. Let's play around here for a second. Joe Ingles game, this is either the great part of this podcast or the really crappy part of this podcast, depending on your viewpoint, when I do this live on the air. So game 4-14 last year, Joe shot 33% from 3 and 36% from the field. This might not be unusual for Joe to have this. I knew David was a nerd. I just didn't realize how big of a nerd. I actually saw him do the drum roll. Thank you, Nolan. There was a socks. I saw some socks yesterday at the Nordstrom rack that said something like training to be a nerd. And I almost bought them. And then I was like, I'm not training. I've like done it. The Joshua McGavin, first time tuning in live. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it, Joshua. Did not know this was a thing from Ben Felt. This is why we did this at 10:30 today, so people could get involved. Is it possible to really defend with the new rules? Yeah, I think so. It's a little different. I think what some of the things the Jazz are doing really well are really important, like forcing teams into low percentage shots. The Jazz shot distribution is really, really good defensively, and I think that matters a great deal. We're 11 games into the season kind of universally. The average offensive team in the league right now's offensive rating is a 106. So Minnesota, that's about 15th, is a 105.8. Indiana is 2. Guess what the average was last year? I think it was higher than 105. Last year, the league average was Utah 106.2. Points per possession is higher than it was at this point, or that was for last year. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. if I were to run last year's, too complicated, I'll look at it for tomorrow. Probably a more accurate number is if we looked at middle of October last year to this date, which I now can do, and figure out whether or not, you know, offense is usually slower early in the year. So an offense gets better as the year goes on. At this point last year, the defensive rating, average defense in the rating of the league was about a 105. Boston was about 15th at 104.8. So it's up comparable time period by a tiny bit of what it was, but not, and will continue to go up. So, but not, so it's 105.8. That was about whatever I said, 105. So it's about, it's up about 0.6. That's actually a considerable amount for the average team to be up. The Warriors are in a different stratosphere, as is Toronto. Warriors really at 119. Brian, thank you very much for your nice comments. Today's show is brought to you in part, and we really appreciate them. Hopefully they had a good time at the game last night. Intercap Lending. Brock and the guys had my tickets last night. Hopefully they enjoyed the ballgame over at Intercap. Intercap is a 40-year mortgage company that has had amazing, amazing growth regionally from 2 branches to 11 branches in the last year. Why? Because they get deals done. What do real estate agents want? They want people that are going to close. They get it done. If you're working with an agent, they're not sending you Intercap, ask them why. Corporate discount when you mention Locked On Jazz. Steve Carter helped me through our mortgage, did a great job with it. Call him at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit Intercap Lending. When I was meeting with Brock and I said, well, what makes you different? Like, I mean, great. Like, why? He said, well, one is our relationships. Two is we get deals done. Three, we're hyper-responsive. Four, we embrace change. And five is the borrower experience. I can attest to it. They're a direct issuer. They service their own loans. They still have our loan right now. Long-term relationship, which is better for the customer. No overlays, no additional requirements, so they can get difficult loans done, low credit, self-employed, business assets, multiple properties, those type of things. And then Steve Carter went out of his way to get the deal done. I mean, they trying to deal with me during a season like they did last year, incredible that they got it done. 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Chase says, I thought the uniforms were awesome last night. Are we going to see them again? Yes, and I thought they were awesome too. It was fun. Should Rudy get his fifth block credit with 208 left in the third? I don't know. I have no idea. Can you introduce me to Joe Ingles? Does Joe Ingles transition to a stretch four to end his career? I don't know, but I think Royce could play the four. Royce is so big and strong, they like separated Nolan Powell's shoulder the other night. He's so physically strong. I think Royce O'Neal could be P.J. Tucker. I know in years past, A.B. is a negative player on the court. Have things changed in the early part of the season for him? He's playing much smarter. He's playing much more inside the team concept. He is shooting lights out on the catch-and-shoot three. I haven't looked at his plus-minus to see if, in fact, it is better. But I mean, he's playing just terrific basketball right now. He's shooting 63% from three. So, you know, probably have to run this thing out while he's hot, but he's also worked crazy, crazy hard, to get there. And it'd be fun if he can continue to do this at the level he's doing it right now. His advanced stats show that so far this year, we're +7 when he's on the floor. That is different. Let's hope that's real. That's really cool. Could AB be our second guy to get us 30? Maybe. I mean, that seems like a stretch. I am not the biggest believer in AB, this isolation one-on-one driving scorer, because he's never been a good rim finisher. So I'm not trying to – what I really love about AB that is this catch-and-shoot game, because that'll open up all sorts of things, and I actually think he's better catch-and-shoot player than he gives himself credit for. He's a better rim finisher now than he has been in years past, and he's having a very good rim finishing this year, and he's at 64% last year, which was, I think, his high since he was 22. So he's improved in that area, and if he can continue to rim finish and learn how to land, then he's going to be, then it's much better. He's taking 31% of his shots at the rim and 38% of his shots as threes. That is a great step in the right direction of taking smart shots. Really fun to watch him. Can I interview for marketing or sales executive career with Locked On Podcast Network? Yeah, send me a resume. We haven't expanded probably that much yet. We got like 4 employees and 100 podcasts and 4 million listens a month. We can use people. We just need revenue to be able to use people. What's the plus minus with Rubio on the floor versus Exum on the floor? Well, the starting lineup has been bad. So I'm not sure that that's a fair assessment to be able to look at a player in that fashion, because there's not enough data points to be able to get that right and understand the impact. But the starting lineup, which was better last night, which was a nice start for the to have a good start last night. I think they led 18-12 on the first substitution. Do I still have popcorn up? That was a nice switch, because we haven't had that before. The starting lineup has been poor, and so Rubio's plus minus is poor. If you go pull Ricky Rubio with here's where this number's flawed. Let me see if I can pull this up. If you take the starting lineup so far this year per 100 possessions, it's minus 6.4. You take Jay Crowder in, and it's plus 19.2. So if Ricky Rubio is negative, it's largely because of the start problems with the starting lineup. Dante never plays with that group, so therefore Dante's plus-minus might look better. Should Utah try to trade for Kevin Love or Kyle Korver? Kevin Love's out for a few months, and I think you'd have to strongly consider whether that contract is worth it. And Kyle Korver, maybe, but whose minutes is he getting? 9 of the 10 games last night scored less than they were expected to. Is defense in the league catching up to the new rules, and will that benefit the Jazz? Ah, gambler with a great insight. Matthew, I did not. That's a nice way to say that 9 of the 10 were under, right? I did not know that. Let's keep an eye on it. Can you keep updating me on that, Matthew? That is a great note. Keep updating me on that. Actually, also keep updating me if the unders change, if the over-under numbers start to change. Any chance NBA front office reevaluates the fact of freedom movement and adjusts? Players seem frustrated and confused at erratic calls. The NBA doubling back with this. No, I don't think there is a chance. I think the NBA believes in this. The playoffs last year were bad when everybody was switching and holding players and getting one-on-one all the time. And I think Sam Amick joins me on Locked On NBA, talks about a conversation he had with Monty McCutcheon about this and how I don't think they'll do that, as well as he writes a piece on The Athletic about it this week. So it's on Locked On NBA. It's on The Athletic. I don't think so. With Igor gone, how much do you think this has affected Rubio, seeing they work so much together? So I love Igor. Igor's gone affects me a great deal, because the rest of these coaches suck at going to coffee consistently. Okay? So let's get that out there. Zach Guthrie, Vince, Fotis, if you're all listening right now, I'm calling you out for your unacceptable lack of dedication to morning coffee, or not liking me at all and wanting to be with me and having to listen to stats every morning. That could be it. Igor and I never talk stats. We talked about old Serbian uncles and things like that. Igor would always tell stories about his my Serbian uncle. I can't do Igor. But my Serbian uncle, I don't know if I told him when he left. I don't actually believe there's a Serbian uncle. I believe it's you. When Ricky Rubio went like 1-for-19 last year from three in a portion of the season, nobody said it was Igor's fault. And nobody said that was because of Igor. So maybe it's just, and Ricky's not a good traditional shooter. Like Ricky's career numbers are 38% from the field and 32% from three. So as much as I love Igor and I just miss him dearly, partially because the other guys are brutal at their dedication to coffee in the morning. Zach's dedication to coffee, very high. Zach's dedication in the morning, very low. I'm playing with them. See if they bust. We'll find out who listens, because they'll be pissed about this. But seriously, like Ricky last year, I think from like December 9th to December 27th, shot 22% from three and 39% over a 10-game span. Like, we didn't blame that on Igor. And Ricky from game 9 last year to game 35 shot 23% from 3. So a 27-game stretch for Ricky last year from game 9 until game 35, he shot 37% from the field and 23% from 3. Like, so I'm not going to give Igor all that. Sorry, Igor. Because I'm the ultimate homer and think that we are already perfect and live in a constant fear of a trade, is there anyone out there you think is worth pursuing? And if so, who on our roster is expendable? I don't know if anyone on our roster is expendable right now. We have this weird roster where we're like 11 and 12 and 13 deep, and then at the same time you feel like you need all of them. So it really depends on who you're going to get. I don't know who's available out there, and I'm not going to give you a hypothetical trade because it doesn't seem like it would do a lot of value. A lot of trade questions. I don't think the market's set yet on what the trade is, and I think you'd have to watch us a little bit more. We've been without Donovan for two games and some brutal schedule. I think there's, of the 11 games we've played, I feel like three of the 11 have an inadequate sample data set because of circumstances, and then you have no James Harden, no Anthony Davis, and the others, so seems kind of funky. Another Igor question. Besides Dallas and Phoenix, it seems like everyone in the West has an actual chance to make the playoffs. Is this the most even our conference has ever looked? Absolutely. Memphis, like, huge win last night. Absolutely. It's crazy. And Sacramento's been pretty good. Sacramento played well against Toronto last night. They're just not bad teams out there. Derek seems to have balance issues, especially in the low post. Is there any chance he develops a go-to move at this point in his career? No, it seems unlikely. Derek does not have a big post game. It's never been developed. We run the fewest post-ups of anyone in the league. Seems like unless he switches roster teams, that's an unlikely development since we don't run him a lot. Watching Udo and Willie Reed play, Reed is a far better player. Yeah, I probably doubt that. I don't know. I haven't watched Willie Reed. I also think it's an immaterial discussion. Udo's fabulous to have around. Willie Reed's playing G League players. I think if you put Udo in a G League game, he'd probably look pretty good. Joshua Johnson says, using Intercap right now, so good. Awesome. Tell Steve Carter I say hi. Are you using Steve Carter? 385-885-28. 385-885-28, free plug. Tell Steve I say hi. Talk through the Crowder versus Favors starting topic. If Favors came off the bench, will his minutes stay the same? No, that's the issue. If Derek comes off the bench, he's playing 14 minutes a night. The numbers are there for a legitimate discussion on who should start. The problem is, unlike Toronto, where they got Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas to both come off the bench, it's not clear. Like, that's not Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry, that's Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka. So, depending on the matchup on a given night, one of those might play 28 and the other plays 20, and then 26 and, 22, and they flip it around, and one night Valanciunas plays more, and the next night, and over the year, they may have, let's see how that plays out. I think it's still a little risky. But last night in Sacramento with Willie Cauley-Stein, Valanciunas is really taking the short end of this stick. And last night, Valanciunas came off the bench and played 19 minutes, and Serge played 28. But if you do that with Rudy, Rudy's playing 34 minutes a night, so Derek's playing 14. And I think if you do that, I think you lose Derek for the year, or it's a legitimate moment where you could lose Derek for the year. So I'm not sure that I think that that's Jonas Valanciunas has only played one game where he's played less than 17 minutes. I mean,